Tonight is September 24th, 2024, and as of always, I'm doing another study on Fruit of the Light, number 37. In Ephesians 5, I do my studies in a practical sense. Even when I'm looking in Old Testament Scripture, I'm looking at it in the practical sense and how we can apply it in our daily lives. That's what's so amazing about God's Word, is that when you read it and it touches your heart, even if it's in Leviticus, or even if it's in Psalm or Malachi, anywhere like that, if it touches your heart, then it is a written word that you can apply, because it's written in our heart. We don't have to go by the Ten Commandments, and we understand that. Unlike traditional view, they feel like we have to live by the Ten Commandments, when in reality, it's on our heart. We don't have to do anything. It just comes natural for the believer, for a body member that understands Scripture rightly divided. It gives us freedom. It gives us so much freedom in Scripture when we can see the color that comes out of Scripture when we understand it rightly divided. But when we can look at it and use it and apply it in our life today, that is a blessing within itself. But you know, my entire study is on Fruit of Light. It's put in practical application as I felt the need to search for my own need of balance and correction. And learning as a student, because I'll never say that I'm a teacher. I'm a student, and I'll always be a student. Sometimes a stupid student that needs correcting, and I ask any of my fellow speakers to just chime in and send me a note. Say, need to think about this, Tony, or what do you think about that, Tony? And, you know, that way we can correct each other, because we're doing it righteously. You know, we're doing it in a loving way. And as a student, and as a husband, a father, and a grandfather, to have self-control in being a body member, and to make my walk an example for all that are around me, to witness Christ's light within me. You know, I fail so many times that I just have to turn back and take a look at myself, and then thank God, even Christ, through the grace and the shed blood that He put there for my forgiveness. You know, and that's what I'm doing my series on, is my own personal studies and my own personal walk. And if you get a benefit out of it, then God be the glory. You know, that's what it's all about. But tonight I'm doing a study on patience, because mine has been kind of frayed pretty good the past few weeks. And I just felt the need to really focus on it, because patience is something that is a virtue when you use it, and when you're directed by the Spirit and you use it wisely. You know, we as a nation, United States of America, we feel so, oh, why me? Why me, Lord? You know, give me patience in my sufferings. And when we see somebody like Brother Paul in Africa, South Africa, man, we don't know what patience is. We haven't even heard from this man in, what, 3-4 weeks? You know, he might be in the grave as we speak. He don't know that. He might be in a prison somewhere, because he don't have the freedoms that we have. And I'm sitting here whining about some of some of my problems that I have at work, you know? And I have to stand back and say, you're pitiful. And that's all it is. You're just pitiful. Suck it up. Thank the Lord. Take the prayers and go with it. Life goes on. Because that's how we deal with it. You know, patience itself, the word, is used 33 times in the New Testament, and patient, plural, is used 9 times. 3 times patience used in the post-Acts books, with 2 uses a walk, and 1 is the knowledge of Paul's walk. And patient itself is used twice in post-Acts books. Well, 3 times, I think. I wrote it down twice, but I think it's 3 times. 5 times it's macrothamia. 28 times it's used as hupomone. And then I've got 2 more that I'll be saying toward the end for patient, because they're in the latter part of my study, and it's epikos and anakekos. But those are adjectives, so they're directed more at working. Now, like I said, in looking at daily living in the USA, we're spoiled in saying patience is most assuredly one of the tough virtues that man struggles with. I'm sure we all feel the same way ourselves. I know I do, but I can say that over the years of my studying, the spiritual positive attributes from my Fruit of the Light studies and the Spirit has been working with me very well, even as of late, struggling with a family member that's supposed to be on medication but thinks he knows more than the doctors. It has put a burden on the business and my patients. I know that I can say what I want because in his mind, you know, I can say what I want, but in his mind, his own reality is creating situations that are not real. So I have to look at talking to him in a different way. Because if I just go in the wrong direction, he's going to go ballistic, and that's not going to help anybody anywhere. So it really makes it hard to concentrate. But through prayer of the saints, I'm keeping my composure and sanity while constantly thinking, relax, and be patient. Because God is in control. The first time it's used in the New Testament is in Matthew 18, where Peter comes to Jesus with a question, and Jesus, knowing the hearts of those around him, answers in a parable. And it's 18:21, where Peter comes up. Then Peter comes to him and says, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? And naturally, this is old as I am, as many times as I've heard it. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee 7, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Then Jesus goes into the servant that owed 10,000 talents to the king that was going to sell him and his whole family to be sold for a payment. Then the servant asked for patience for him. Give me patience and I'll get you money. So the king felt heartily. You know, in 18:26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience. That's 31:14-15, macrothamia. It's the same as longanimity, forbearance, and fortitude, and long-suffering. And I will pay thee all. But the servant didn't, and he got forgiveness. But the servant didn't have patience for one that owed him 100 talents. And he had him put in prison. Now this is just a parable. It didn't really happen. But the Lord knowed those around him, they could relate to this story. So the Lord scrutinized him and said, this man, he wound up going back to prison. So the king took him and put him back in prison for not having patience on one of his subordinates. In Luke 8:11, we have another parable. It's the seed, which is the word of God. Because in 8:15-16, it talks about the seed being on good ground, which is an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, kept it, and bring it forth fruit with patience. In 15 and 16. In 15, and bring forth fruit with patience. In 16, no man when he hath lighted a candle covereth with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they may which enter in may see the light. That candle is the word of God, but you don't cover it. It's there. In Romans 5:1-5, patience is in 3 and 4. But in Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, this ain't the type of tribulations that I go through in my work life. This ain't the kind of tribulations that anybody within my voice goes through in any daily situation on earth. These are tribulations that people go through by studying the Word of God in a bad place. And for impatient experience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Rotherham, it says, and our hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has given it to us. In Romans 8:25-28, patience is in verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Now, if we see it, why do we have to wait for it? It's not really hope. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can you hear my dog snoring? I mean it. I want to kick him, but if I do, he might not like it too much. In 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. In parentheses, it's the will of God, but it's according to God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God knows the hearts of the saints. God knows what you're asking in prayer, even though it might not be coming to him the way he expects it. The Holy Spirit changes it makes intercession for it with groanings that we can't understand. Say that in the wrong church, and they might give you some groanings that nobody can understand. And they'll claim they got the answers. But that's not the case. In Romans 15, 1 through 7, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good and edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You can see where Paul is actually getting the picture of the one body here. He's coming more clear as he goes along in Romans as to his stance with the body and the mystery. He's getting more clear with the body. You can see that. And I'll allude to that shortly. You know, Paul, during the Acts period, referring 14 years back, talking about John, when he talked with John, who was ascended up into the heavens and uttered words that wasn't supposed to be understood. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12:5-12, forbear is used, and then patience is used in 12, but forbear or spare is used, so you can utilize another type of patience in forbearance. So, in 2 Corinthians 12:5, for such an one I will glory, and we're talking about John, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, or I spare, lest any man should think of me above that which seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you can see where he needs the patience here with the buffeting of Satan. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God said, no, I'm sorry, Paul, but you're just going to have to deal with it. Suck it up, buttercup, because you're in for the long haul. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. You know, take pleasure in infirmities, the beatings that he took, the scourgings that he took, the drownings, the in the deep, and all these other things that Paul endured. But I take pleasure in my infirmities. You know, such a weak, wimpy person am I, you know, to read this and see what Paul went through and just have a slight idea as to what our brother Paul in India is going through. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That patience is Phidomai. It's 5339. Is of an uncertain affinity. It's a verb, so that's a working patience. And to abstain or to treat leniently or forbear. In Romans 12, the whole chapter of 12, I can't help, once I got started reading it, I couldn't not read the entire chapter. Chapter 12, starting at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Humble yourself, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man has his own measure of faith. I mean, that's deep. We all have our own different measures. Each one of our speakers has their own abilities. And I'm right down there on the bottom end of it. But I thank God for giving me the spirit of understanding when I do study. And I thank God for listeners to listen to my blabbering sometimes. For as we have many members in the body, that sounds familiar, and all members have not the same office. That sounds pretty familiar. It gives you an idea of a body, of your body. How many members does your body have? Can you name them? Can you number them? Because of the organs, how many people know that the skin is the largest organ in your body? Not everybody. But there are so many different parts of our anatomy. I mean, you have tendons, sinew, nails. I mean, the list goes on forever that can be described. But when it comes to the body of Christ, where do you stand? Nobody here can answer that. We don't know. We know that we're in the body. But we don't know the position that will be held at that time, because God will tell us at that time. And not one second before. When we are appear before Him in glory, it's going to be an automatic download, baby. I mean, it's going to be all you could even imagine with the blink of an eye you're going to know. And that's just such a, God, I can't even describe the blessing that I get just thinking about that. Because that is going to be part of the body. What we're going to be doing after that point, I have no idea. And 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait. Wait is, I guess you could say that's patience, right? Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. I mean, when you look at this and you study it out and you follow this direction, you're gonna beam with light like nobody's business when you're out in the world. He that soweth mercy showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, perfecting one another, not slothful in business. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. You know, instead of having the Ten Commandments plastered over every school building there are, every judge chambers there is, every county council chambers there is, Romans 12, 1 through 21 should be plastered, and they should be directed to read it every time they go into that room. You talk about changing people's hearts, that's going to do it. And then 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Wow. I mean, how many times can you do that? We need to ask Paul that in Africa. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Of the same mind, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Yep, that can be hard to do. That's where patience comes in. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, put it aside. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, that's, like I said, that's one chapter right there I think I could read daily until I get India. Thank you, Chico. Paul in India. That's one chapter I could read daily until I got it memorized. And I might just try to do that. That's a lot. But, you know, patience used 9 times. Patient, singular, not patience, but patient used 9 times. 3 times in the prison epistles. In 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, this Paul's talking to Timothy about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Now, there's where the repentance comes in at. This ain't the repentance that's talked about on every Sunday at every church, on every corner. Repent. Repent and be baptized. No. This is the repentance that is truth for today. This is the repentance that those preachers on those pulpits need to be saying or be repenting to, and that's repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth and forget all of those traditions. In 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who were taken captive by him at his will. So, Satan's working here, people, and he's got a lot of people under his thumb. In 1 Timothy 3:3, not given to wine, talking about what the body member is to be doing, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy with filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, nor covetousness. And that patient is epiketes. It's from Greek 1909 and Greek 1503, which is appropriate. An example by implication, mild, gentle, moderation, and patient. It's an adjective that describes or qualifies a man. So it's a working patient. In 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And that's anexikakos. And that's also an adjective, which is enduring of ill or forbearing and being patient. In Ecclesiastes, going back to the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, it was in one of my devotions here a month or so ago that Kate kind of turned me on to. We have a book we read daily devotions. But this was in Ecclesiastes 7, 8, and 9. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's another one that could be plopped out there. But that's an adjective, and it's the Hebrew form alrak, which is long, long-suffering, long-winged, and patience, or slow to anger. And my last verse of the day, and I had to go to Ephesians for Jack Eberly. Jack Eberly always finished in Ephesians 4. And I'm going to do this one for Jack. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, speaking of Paul, not Tony McCurry, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherefore ye are called. Tony McCurry, walk for the vocation where you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Thank you, guys. I kind of got a little rowdy there for a second, but this has been weighing on me. And I thank the Lord for your prayers. I feel them, trust me. My business is going through a change, but who's to say it's going to be a good change? It's just the way life rolls. You deal with it. You say your prayers. You let the Lord handle it. And be thankful. Be thankful therein in everything you do. I'll put my dog to sleep. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. And again, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us in. Lord, we thank you for the saints. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts, especially in India, Lord. Paul and his companions and his believers in India, Lord, be with them, Lord. Give them the protection that they need. and the assurance, Lord, that you are still in control and that at the appearing, they will appear with you in glory. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.